even as many Jews are building communities in Babylon and beginning their lives anew, even as a quote-unquote Yahudu, or Jerusalem in Babylon, is created. Still, the real Judea is not forgotten. The real Jerusalem is not forgotten. David is not forgotten. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, Episode 30, Babylonian Tablets and Jerusalem's Jews. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In 2015, Israel's Bible Lands Museum launched a remarkable new exhibit titled By the Rivers of Babylon, featuring cuneiform tablets that contain records of a Jewish community in ancient Babel. The community was called El Yahudu, which could roughly be translated as the Jerusalem of that area, and the tablets testified to a group of Jewish exiles that had rebuilt their lives far away from their original home. I cite several passages from one article in the Israeli media about the exhibit. Quote, the documents reflect a settlement block of several villages between the Euphrates and Tigris rivers. One of the villages is named in the tablets as El Yahudu, a term Babylonian sources use to describe Jerusalem. Little is known of how the collection was discovered. Archaeologists assume it was dug up in the 1970s in southern Iraq and surfaced in the International Antiquities Market. El Yahudu's residents are Jews, as their names indicate. Gedaliahu, Hanan, Dana, Shaltiel, and Netanyahu. Some of the names appear to be inspired by Cyrus's declaration allowing the return to Zion, like Yashuv, Tzadik, or Ya'aliyahu. Until now, very little had been known about the life of the Judean community that had been uprooted from Jerusalem and deported to Babylon. The collection also corresponds with the biblical text in which the prophet Ezekiel writes, as I was among the captives by the river Kivar. The river Kivar, or River Kivar village, appear several times on the tablets. The tablets reflect trade transactions, leasing houses and fields, addresses, inheritances, etc. Certificate 31, for example, is of a deal between Yirpa ben Doha and Achikam ben Rifayahu, in which the former trades a trained 5-year-old bull for 1 gray genet, end quote. A Jewish community that has reconstituted itself after an enormous upheaval, a community that would remain in Babylon for thousands of years and impact the future of Judaism in enormous ways. All this is illustrated by these phenomenal tablets. But these tablets must be joined with another, one sitting not in Jerusalem but in Berlin, one whose discovery came to light many decades ago and which shows another side of the story, the loves and longings of exiled Jews and the Jewish resolution to never forget Jerusalem. The Jewish community of Babylon began several years before Jerusalem's destruction, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, depleted Judea's city of all its elite, including its then king, Jehoiachin or Jechoniah. The fact that, as these tablets testify, the Jews taken to Babel built lives there is in accordance with the instructions that were sent to them from Jeremiah in Jerusalem. The prophet commands in chapter 29 of his book, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. Thus, the carrying on of Judaic life in exile is, on the one hand, in obedience to the prophet's commands. And yet, in the midst of this continuity, one senses that at least some of the Jews might grow too comfortable, too acculturated, so that even after the return to the Holy Land is announced, many Jews will stay in Babel. Even some of their leading figures will adopt Babylonian names along with their Jewish ones. Later, in the story of Diaspora Jewry, we will meet a Jewish woman named Hadassah, who will also be called Ishtar, or Esther, a name that is linked to Babylonian pagan culture. The same can be said for Esther's cousin, Mordechai, whose name is linked to that of the Babylonian god Marduk. That these people are not pagans, that they are loyal and faithful Jews, is certain. And yet, their names highlight their profound integration into larger Babylonian and later Persian society. This community will remain in the diaspora for many generations, ultimately producing the most influential rabbinic text in Jewish history, the Babylonian Talmud. But there is another side to the story, highlighted by another text in Jeremiah, as well as another corresponding ancient Babylonian tablet. Jeremiah ends his book by describing the destruction of the temple and the capture and blinding of the last king of Jerusalem, Zedekiah. And then suddenly, in the final verses, we are informed of the fate of Zedekiah's predecessor, King Jehoiachin or Jechoniah, previously exiled, who, we are told, received mercy from Evil-Merodach, Nebuchadnezzar's heir. Jeremiah writes, "And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison, and spoke kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was continual diet given him of the king of Babylon every day, a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life." A daily ration from the king of Babel to the former king of Jerusalem. So, in a seemingly prosaic way, the book of Jeremiah comes to a close, as does the book of Kings. But why? Is this not an anticlimactic manner of ending the tale of the destruction of Davidic Jerusalem? But the point, perhaps, is that even in the midst of exile, the sons of David remember who they are. And if the family survives, that means that the memory of Jerusalem survives. Thus, Jeremiah's final verse about King Jehoiachin sets the stage for the Jewish return. As Rabbi Alex Israel puts it, quote, "Jehoiachin's reprieve gives a glimmer of hope, a sense that the tide has turned back and events will yet again turn in Israel's favor, with the restoration to land, temple, and self-governance. Indeed, it shall be none other than Jehoiachin's grandson Zerubbabel, who will, one generation hence, lead the exiles back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple." End quote. In other words, both Jeremiah and the Book of Kings end with a discussion of the rations provided by Babel to the Davidic dynasty in order to emphasize that even as many Jews are building communities in Babylon and beginning their lives anew, even as a quote-unquote Yahudu, or Jerusalem in Babylon, is created, still, the real Judea is not forgotten, the real Jerusalem is not forgotten, David is not forgotten. Hope is preserved, providence prevails, and in the midst of the overwhelming might of Babylon, the stage is set for the Jewish return. The description of the freeing of the Davidic house and of the rations given to members of the Judean royal family is not meant to be anticlimactic. On the contrary, the Bible is asking us to see in small signs a hint of redemption yet to come. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is what I think is, to use the technical theological term, super cool. One of the earliest finds from the archaeological excavation of Babel is a cuneiform tablet that confirms the biblical account. What was discovered was one of the comprehensive records kept by Nebuchadnezzar's house, a seemingly pedantic detail about the amounts of sesame oil accorded to the royal house of Judea. The wonderful book Lost Treasures of the Bible describes for us how this tablet was found. Quote, "In the excavations at Babylon conducted between 1899 and 1917 by Robert Caldaway, large numbers of cuneiform tablets were discovered in a barrel-vaulted underground building not far from the famous Ishtar Gate. A stairway from the palace led down to this room, which was probably the records room of the official in charge of rations for prisoners and certain skilled laborers of the royal employ in Babylon. The tablets document monthly rations of oil and barley, and occasionally of dates and spices that were allotted to these peoples. Many nationalities were named in the various tablets: Egyptians, Persians, Phoenicians, Elamites, and others from the Mediterranean coasts. Some of these were exiles, others were palace employees, or both. Among the names were those of persons from Judah that bore the same names as some people in the Bible: Gadiel, Semachia, and Shelemiah. A few broken lines in one of these records immediately attracted the attention of biblical scholars. In the right-hand column of the tablet pictured, lines 38 to 40, reference is made to rations given to Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and his five sons. Jehoiachin was ruler at the time Jerusalem was captured by Nebuchadnezzar II and then deported to Babylon as a prisoner. 32 pints for Jehoiachin, king of Judah. 5 pints for the five sons of the king of Judah. 8 pints for 8 men of Judah. 1 pint each." End quote. Thus, this tablet corresponds to the final verses of Jeremiah, and it highlights the other message that Jeremiah gives to the Jews taken into exile in Babylon, that the powerful, seemingly invincible empire of Babel is not long for this earth, and that the stage will be set for the Jewish return. Thus, Jeremiah 29:12, And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. 70 years from the exile, Babel will fall, Cyrus will rise, and the Jews will return. Thus the tablet about the Judean king reminds us that for all the Jews that will stay in Babylon, there are those that refuse to forget Jerusalem, and many of them are described in the Bible. A Jew named Daniel is praised and promoted by kings, and yet we are told about him that, quote, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. We meet in the Bible a prophet named Ezekiel who will spend his time in Babel describing the temple in Jerusalem that is yet to be. And then we also read of prominent figures in the courts of Persian kings, Ezra and Nehemiah, who will plead with the ruler they serve to allow them to go to Jerusalem and rebuild. Jewish life in Babel will flourish, but Jerusalem and its Davidic heritage is never forgotten. When one visits the Pergamon Museum in Berlin today, one encounters remnants of Nebuchadnezzar's palace, as well as the great gate of his once extraordinary city. Standing there, one realizes that one is looking at what may have confronted the exile of Jerusalem as they arrived. Or, equally possible, given the number of skilled craftsmen that were brought from Judea to Babel, one is looking at edifices that Jews helped create. To see these exhibits of Babylon in Berlin is to think of Jewish exile and destruction. But in the end, all the Babylonian artifacts in that institution's collection embody an empire that bestrode the world like a colossus and soon after disappeared, whereas one tiny tablet on display references King Yechoniah of Judea and thereby reminds us of a people that returned to Jerusalem again and again. This is Meir Soloveitchik, wishing you a Chag Sameach. Looking forward to learning together again soon. Signing off.